All right. Well, this evening, if you would head over to Psalms, we're going to go to Psalm 23 this morning will be where we begin. And as you head over there, I will give the introduction. Now, tonight's message is titled Lighting the Path, and our focus is on God directing our movements, directing the path of our lives. That is the focus of tonight's message. You see, we all have questions about what's coming next in this life. We all have questions about what lies ahead of us on this road that we're traveling down. You see, we travel this road at different speeds at different times of our lives, do we not? Sometimes we seem to be going a mile a minute as life ramps up and things get busy. Other times it seems like we're driving in a school zone, so to speak. We kind of creep through. But one thing we always want to know is we want to know what's coming up around the next turn, what's coming up over the next hill. We desire to know these occurrences far, far before they actually come to pass. We want to know about these things down the road. And the world expects us to, does it not? Doesn't the world expect for us all to plan out our lives, to plan our future down to the most minute of details? We're expected to have, you know, every step from now until the day that we die is expected that we're to plan all that out, that we're to have it all under control and have milestones that we're going to be reaching, and that we're expected to meet all those milestones. They want us to execute the plan and reach the milestones that we've set. However, I think that anyone who's been living for a little while will tell you that life does not go as planned, does it? No. In fact, I was speaking with Betty some time ago, and I don't remember what we were talking about, but I said to her, I said, you know, you want to make God laugh, tell him what your plans are. Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. No, life does not always go as planned, and the paths that we walk, they often fork, and multiple times, to where we have decisions that we have to make. Either we're going to go to the left or we're going to go to the right. Well, life almost never allows us to continue on this straight, smooth path for very long, does it? Our lesson this morning is focusing on the path that God prepares for us and not on the path that we would have. Join me as we pray for the message. Father God, we come to you this evening to thank you for those who have gathered here today, Lord, and to ask for your blessing on them, and those who couldn't be here, Lord, those that are dealing with sickness or other concerns, Lord, we ask that you'd be with them and bless them. Father, we thank you for those who are here, Lord. I ask that you would, Father, give me the words to speak tonight, Lord. That would be your words. Father, give me your message. Help me to speak them clearly, to think clearly, Lord. If there's anyone here who will hear this message, Father, tonight or online in future times or what have you, Father, that you would give me the words that they need to hear to be drawn to you, Father. Lord, I pray that we would all have open ears and open hearts to receive the message that you have for us, that our hearts would be filled, that our lives would be changed, Father, that it would change not just our feelings and our emotions and make us feel good, Father, but that it would change the way we live, the way we view you, Father, that you'd be glorified in all things, that we would make you not just priority number one, but, Lord, preeminent, over and above all things, for you, Lord, our sovereign God, worthy of all. Father, help us as we give the message tonight, Lord. Be with every person here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the first point that I want to make tonight is that the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. You see, Christ has been called the great shepherd, the good shepherd. And there's a couple of things I want to point out about that. It's a very well-known statement. It's a little bit of a cliche statement. Some would say it's used too much, but I want to make a point here. There's a relationship when we talk about shepherding. There's a relationship that's implied. There in Psalm 23, go to verse 1 through 4 for me, if you would. Psalm 23 says, this is a well-known psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, I'd like to draw your attention, if I could, tonight, to the language that the psalmist uses here, the language that he uses. You see, as I said, the title of shepherd, that denotes, it implies a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And we, of course, are the sheep, right? We are the flock of God. We are his children. We are his people. We are the ones that Christ is leading, right? Now, I want to talk about this relationship. You know, a shepherd, anyone here ever had sheep, ever tried to raise sheep, by the way? We got one. Okay, they're not the brightest, are they? No, they're not. They are not the brightest of all God's creatures. Now, the funny thing about sheep, though, is they can be taught. They can be trained. They do recognize the shepherd. It's no doubt about it. Anyone who's had sheep can tell you that. They know when you're coming, and when you come, they do. They flock to you, because usually that means you got food. They catch on real quick, don't they? Yes, they do. And they get into all kinds of trouble on their own. That's the funny thing. That's another way in which we're like the sheep. You see, without the shepherd out there, those sheep, you can go get them out of a corner, out of a fence that they're stuck in, give them 2 or 3 minutes, they'll go right back into it. They just wander around if you're not out there. But see, here's the things I want us to focus on. The shepherd leads the sheep, and the sheep follow him. They recognize and they come to the sound of his voice. They come to the sound of his voice, and they recognize him. See, a shepherd cares for the sheep, provides and protects the sheep, and is the shepherd which determines every aspect of the sheep's life. They depend on the shepherd for everything. Honestly, sheep are pretty helpless. They really are, except the rams. They're mean. The rams got those horns. They'll get you. They like to run you down. The point I want to make with you today is, as we look at sheep and the shepherd, is that God is our shepherd, and he is intimately invested and involved in each and every one of our lives. As our shepherd, he leads us in the path that we're to walk, that we're to follow. He goes there before us, and he lights that path for us. All that we have to do is follow him. Now, this is a fearsome thing for many of us. It's concerning, it's scary, because to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to follow the path that God has laid before us, you know what that means we have to do? We have to give him control of our lives. A little bit ago, I referred to this life as the road or the path that we travel. Well, imagine that we're in a car traveling down the road. We have a very hard time letting go of that steering wheel, don't we? Especially whenever times get hard. You would think that when times get hard, we'd be more than happy to hand the reins over and say, hey, this is not easy. You know what? You take care of it. But we actually do just the opposite. We begin to think that if I let go, things are going to fall apart. I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to stay on top of this, and I got to watch out for that. That's what happens in our lives. We get busy, and we start to juggle things. And next thing you know, we're going a mile a minute, literally. And instead of just setting it down and letting the Lord drive, letting him lead, we have a hard time letting go of that wheel. So you know what we sometimes do? We'll say, okay, God, I give it over to you. And we'll sit in the driver's, in the passenger seat. Here's the problem, though. Whenever we sit in the passenger seat, we often sit there kind of like a driver's ed teacher does. We've got our foot on that other pedal that's there, ready to stop at any moment if we get uncomfortable. We're ready to reach over and grab the wheel back if it gets a little crazy, if the Lord starts to take us down a path that we weren't quite ready for. That's what we do. Too often. You see, what we're supposed to do is sit in the back seat. No pedal, no steering wheel, along for the ride that God's got us on, ready to go down whatever path he takes us, whatever plan he has. But that's not what we do. See, often what we'll do is this. We often want God to sit in the trunk. That's honestly what we do. We say, God, you know what? This is my life. I got this. You're my Lord and Savior, but right now, you go ahead and sit in the trunk. I got a nice seat back there for you. If things get bad, if I get a flat tire and got to pull over, then I'll pop the trunk and I'll get you out. That's often how we treat God. We put him up on a shelf until we need him. rather than going to him continually for every moment of our lives, rather than consulting with him on every decision, rather than thinking, what would the Lord have me to do in this moment? What's my next step going to be? And see, that's the intention of the ideology between the shepherd and the sheep. You follow him. Wherever he goes, that's where they went. And that's how it's supposed to be with us. Not one hand on the wheel, not God in the trunk, and we just get him out when the tire goes flat and things get bad. We're supposed to go where he has for our lives. It's the best plan. There are questions that we have to ask ourselves. First of all, am I willing to accept whatever comes from the Lord's hand for me today? Am I willing to accept whatever comes from the Lord's hand for me today and tomorrow? Second question, am I willing to sit in the back seat and give him full control over whatever happens? Whatever happens, to God be the glory, his will be done. That's how it's supposed to be. But that's often not what we do. You see, we don't want him until we get lost. Who here can read a map? I mean, if I was to break out a Randy McNally and say, hey, anyone here, who was the family navigator whenever y'all go on family road trips? Anybody? Was I the only one that was the family navigator? Yeah, I see a couple of you out there. My dad thought that was great. I was like 10 years old, and he said, son, we're going up to, I remember where we were going. We were going from Virginia to Illinois, and he handed me a map, and he said, all right, let me know where the next turn is. I just looked at him like it was hieroglyphics. I was like, you better get involved. You're going to be in Albuquerque. Here's the thing, though. You see, today they don't have, well, they have Randy McNally, but we don't, most kids these days, they don't use Randy McNally. You hand them a map, even 18, 19-year-old kids, they wouldn't know how to read that thing. You know what we got today? GPS. Well, you know what? God is up with the times. God's got a GPS. We'll call it the godly positioning system. Where you are is where he wants you. You can bank on it. Wherever you are is where he wants you. God's going to put you in the place that you need to be. See, here's how I like to think of God's as a GPS, right? I assume your GPS does this. It's really annoying when mine does. So if it doesn't, let me know what yours does, because I'm interested to know. Where's Ashley? Oh, there she is. My GPS is crazy, isn't it? It likes to take you on roads that ain't even there. Now, I'm cheap, and I haven't updated it in 5 years, but how many roads can they build, right? So here's what my GPS does. I'll be driving along, and I got a little bit of pride. So I'll look over and be like, hey, I know where we are now, honey. You can shut that off. I don't need that GPS. I know where we are. 10 minutes later, hey, why don't you turn that thing back on? Why? Well, I don't know. I could swear Walmart was right down here. I thought I knew. And you know what I often hear whenever I go off the road that God wants me on? Recalculating. Recalculating. That's what whose GPS does that? Doesn't that just frustrate you? Something about that word just makes you look at it and go, you better stop recalculating. God does the same thing with our lives. You see, whenever we don't follow the path that he set before us, when we decide to go off on our own, we take control of that wheel, God's always trying to move us. He's always trying to lead and put us back on the path that he has for our life if we would just follow him. And if we would listen, it's almost as if we could hear God going, recalculating. Josh, no, recalculating. Get back on that road I had for you. You're going off the wrong way. He does that for us. The problem is we often don't listen. We do what I like to do because of my pride. Turn that thing off. I know where I am now. I know this area. I got this. I don't need that thing to tell me. Yeah, that's the sound you hear. We need to keep in constant connection with God. We need to follow his plan, his direction for our lives. Which brings us to the second thing. I guess I ought to put this just say this before I jump into there. God being our great shepherd, he can only be our shepherd if we follow him. You see, a shepherd's not much of a shepherd if the sheep don't follow him and don't go to him. He can't do his job if the sheep don't cooperate, right? We need to follow our shepherd. We need to let God lead in all things. Which brings me to the second point here. Second point. This will sound familiar. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Heard those words once or twice, right? God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hop over to Proverbs. Not too far. Just hop into Proverbs. Go to chapter 6 of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. So Proverbs 6:23 says this, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." You see, God's word serves as a revelation of himself. He reveals himself to us through his word and through the law. He teaches us what righteousness is. He shows us what sin is. He reveals his character to us through the words that we have today. But it also serves as an instruction book on how to live. You know, I can't remember how long ago it was, but when I was a child, I heard someone say that the Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic instructions. And it really is. It'll tell you how to live. Every aspect of your life, it'll tell you what's expected of you, how we ought to think, how we ought to react, how we ought to be, so that we can be the image of God and reflect him. God gives us wisdom for today and peace for tomorrow. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And the idea there is for us to continually be in communication, not to turn off the GPS, not to put God in the trunk, but to continually go to the Lord for everything. Now, let's not be foolish. That doesn't mean to spend your whole life on your knees in a broom closet praying to God, all right? What it's talking about is have the spirit of prayer. Have that spirit of connection, of communication, on constant reliance on the Word of God, on His will, to make your life His life. Because, folks, newsflash, your life is His life. Do you understand what I mean by that? The breath that you have today, the breath that I have, is a gift. It's not promised. The life that you have, every moment of it, is given of God. Why is it that so often we refer to this as my life? I've got things that I want to do with my life. Why? Because we got both hands on the wheel. Both hands. And that's why we end up going off the wrong direction and God's just sitting there recalculating. With every decision that we make, every step that we take on the path before us, we should be consulting with God, especially in times of difficulty, which is the time in which we grasp the tightest. We're so afraid of losing control when things get hard or we're facing a fearful situation. We're sick. A loved one is very sick. Financial issues come across us. What am I going to do? How am I going to pay this? Relationship issues. Someone that I love or someone that I care for, we're having spats. The relationship has been damaged. All kinds of things come into our lives. Work, name something. We all have trials and tribulations here, don't we? But those are the times that we get so afraid to just give it to God and ask Him, "What would you have for me?" Instead, we hold on even tighter. Afraid that if we let go, it's all going to go crazy, which only makes the problem worse. Psalm 119. We're going to be in Proverbs and Psalms pretty much all night tonight, which is great because that's some of the most beautiful language in all of God's Word. Have you ever sat and just read all the Psalms? Beautiful language in the Psalms. If you ever need to have your spirit lifted, go read the Psalms. It'll do you wonders. Psalm 119, we're going to go to verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Notice there that it begins with none, or noon, actually. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," right? The bullet for this point that I want to make comes from that verse, 119. Now, here in a minute I'll give you an illustration on this. But first of all, I want to address that Hebrew letter there, nun. Did you know that that's what that is when you see that in front? Every one of these, as we read through 119, it's the Hebrew alphabet. That N-U in there, that nun, that noon, is actually how it's said, that's actually a Hebrew letter. And that Hebrew letter, if you ever look at it, it is looks like a letter that's bent over with a head and two hands. It's bowing. And it represents the faithful servant. The faithful servant. You see, because the faithful servant understands that the word of God is a light unto my feet. There's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, I don't know how well this will work, but we're going to try it. Bear with me just for a moment. Could I get you to turn off all the lights? Just go ahead, just flip them all off. Anyone in the back? I'll come back. Turn off all the lights just for a second. I want to show you something just to give you an idea of what happens here. It'll work. I can work with it. Okay, so It'll work. I'll just come down here. So here's the point I want to make. Illustrations are great for illustrating things, right? Here's, da-dum, words mean things. So here's what we want, right? We want God to, let's say that this is our life, right, this darkness. We want God to come down and turn on a light. And, well, it's not quite as dark enough, but as you notice, what we want him to do is show us everything down the road to come. We want to know the end. We want to see where we are, what's coming, and we want to see the end. And we want him to light up everything so there's no surprises, no tricks, nothing around there that we're uncomfortable with because the unknown makes us scared, right? But you know what God's intention is? That light unto my path. Do you know why it says it's a lamp unto my feet? Anyone here ever held a lamp, the old school like oil lamps? How much light do they actually give? This is how, I have a flashlight. I could not find an oil lamp. I apologize. All right, but here's how it works. You see, those lamps, they would only give you enough light to see where you were and a few feet in front of you. So God's lights was this intention. He wants it like this. Why? Because for every step that we take, he wants us to be saying, okay, God, what's next? Show me the next step. Right there? What's the next step? Now what do I do? I don't know where to go from here. That's the intention. Because a lamp, the oil lamps, you can turn the lights back on, guys. I appreciate it. I was hoping that would work out a little better, a little brighter here than I wanted, but hopefully it made the point. You see, those lamps, they didn't give much light. They only showed you really where you were and a few feet in front of you. It wasn't like the lights that we had. The light was a very weak light. But it makes a perfect illustration for God's intention. He wants us to continually be saying, okay, God, what do you have for me next? What do you have for me today? What shall I do? Direct my steps, Lord. Show me the path that I'm supposed to be on. But that's not what we want. Our heart wants, God, I want all the answers. I want to know everything. I don't want any unknown. The unknown scares me. I'm afraid of what's unknown. Just show me everything. I just want to know what's coming. It's not how it's supposed to be. Because if we knew what was coming, if we knew everything, do you know what we'd do? Thanks, you can get in the trunk now. Both hands on the wheel. That's exactly what we'd do. And if you think it's not, take a look at what Israel did. It's the same thing that we do today. Scripture tells us there's nothing new under. I want us to focus on that and remember that. Whenever you're wondering what's coming next, what you're going to do, if you're in a hard time, if you're dealing with something, if you're not sure what that next step is, don't look down the road, just look up. Ask God, Lord, show me the next step. Show me the path. Shepherd me. Lead me down the path that you would have. Everything else is going to stay dark so that we rely upon God. 1 Corinthians, let's head over to the New Testament now, all right? Head over to 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to take a look at verse number 5. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Why does God want that? Why does he want our dependence on him? Why does he want us continually looking to him for the direction that we ought to be going? Well, 1 Corinthians 2, 5 explains it very clearly. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, we shouldn't put our faith in the wisdom of this world. All those people we were talking about as the message began this morning, as the lesson started, and I told you how the world wants us and expects everyone to know what's coming, to plan out what you're going to do and where you're going to be and how things are going to go. And don't get me wrong, I think it's good to have a plan for your life, to try and have goals and milestones that you want to meet. The only thing is we need to remember that it's not our plans that matter most. It's what God would have for us. It's God's plans that we ought to be striving for. That should be the milestones that we desire. Those are the things that we should be striving for. If we put our faith into the world, we put our faith in the wrong thing, because this world will pass away. The only thing that's forever is the everlasting Father, is God. Put your trust and your faith in him. Let him do the leading. Let him light the path. Don't go off on your own. Don't turn off the GPS, okay? Unless, if you can read the map and use the map, then use the map. Don't put it down, okay? Whatever analogy you want to use, stay on God's path. Stay on the right road. So now I'll read you. I won't ask you to go here. I'll just read this for you. Isaiah 2:5 says, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. And that's basically the same thing that I just said. We need to walk in God's light for our lives. We need to be focused on him. Which brings us to our third and final point tonight. Again, another cliche statement, but oh, how much truth. Jesus is the light of the world. That's point three. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. If you head back just a few chapters, there's a few books there from Corinthians, you'll come back to John. Go to John, go to chapter 8 with me. Go to John 8, and let's take a look at verse 12. John 8:12, speaking of Christ, the light of the world, says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How perfect is that for the analogy that we did, for the illustration that was just used? Christ being our shepherd, following in his light takes us out of the darkness. Following the path that he has set before us, letting him lead. He is the light of the whole world. I put a note here that I'll read for you. It says, Jesus is the light which illuminates the path for the whole world. If we try to ignore Jesus, or if we try to provide our own light, we're going to find that we are lost in the dark. We have to let Jesus be the one who lights our way. When we allow Jesus to light our way, then we can have what God really and truly desires for us. Namely, that we find our way home to him and to be at rest. That's the end of the path that the good shepherd leads. Back to the Father. Scripture makes it quite clear. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Those are the words of Christ. You see, on our own, we can't find the right path, folks. You can't. Doesn't matter how good you are, and I know there's a lot of good people in here today. But folks, there's going to be a lot of good people in hell. And I don't say that to scare you. I say that so that you are aware. Do you know why I say that? Heaven isn't for good people. Heaven's not for good people. Heaven is for those that have been redeemed, those that are perfect and righteous and holy. But the scripture tells us that all have sinned. Without Christ as our shepherd, without him lighting the path, none of us can arrive at home with the Father. Not one. Let me read you another verse here to just to support what I just said there. 1 John 1, 5 through 7 says this. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, I'll stop there real quick. If you look in the Greek where it says no darkness at all, it actually repeats itself. It says there is no darkness. It's saying that there is no darkness, absolutely none, zero, not even a hint of it. All light only. Because they say that darkness is the absence of light, right? With God, there is no absence of light. Within God is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, a moment ago I explained, as many of you well know and have heard many times, that we all have that sin, and it stops us. It prevents us from being able to be united with the Father. But as the scripture just told you there, it is Christ whose blood removes that sin. These are important reminders for us. I know that we know these things, that we hear them constantly. We hear them because we need to be told. We need to be reminded to take our hands off the steering wheel, to follow the light of God, to follow his path. You see, Jesus Christ walked among us to be an example, to shepherd us and to be the light of God. When we place our faith into Jesus Christ and in what happened at the cross, we trust in God to light our way. We trust in the truth of his word and in his promises. We look to him for lighting our path and pushing out darkness in times of uncertainty, which the world is what places us into. Psalms 25, 4 and 5. Listen to the psalmist's words here. We could learn a lot if we all had this heart. This is the heart that we ought to have continually. He says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. On God we should wait. He says, teach me, show me thy paths. In other words, what the psalmist is saying is, God, you can have the steering wheel. You can drive. The path that you set before me, I'll follow, Lord. Just light it. It's as if the psalmist is saying, here am I. Lord, what will you have for me today? Each of us are at different points on the path that God has for us. As we look throughout the room today, tonight, we see each and every one of us at a different stage, at a different age, different places that we've been, different things that we've been through. We're all on a different part of that path. Our paths have forked and we've taken turns and gone up and down so many times. But for those that are following the shepherd, do you know what's interesting? We're all going to the same place. You see, that GPS is directing you. It's recalculating. It's getting us all to the same place, which is back with the Father. Let God show you the ways. When you consider the path before you, ask yourself this. Are you looking down the road, trying to see where the next step should fall? Or are you looking to the light of the world to tell you where the next step should fall? Simple question, but there's a lot to that. In closing, I have a statement here that I wrote down, and I was going to try and just give you this message off the top, but I feel that I might miss something. I want you to know that Jesus is the light of the world, that statement has power in it. It's a powerful illustration. He can be the light that we need in the darkness of this world. And I don't say that lightly. For those of us that are of faith, for those of us that remember when the world wasn't quite as crazy as it seems to be today, there's no doubt that the world seems to be getting darker. But that light is still there. It's not any dimmer than it ever was. There's just less of us looking to it. That's the problem. Jesus can give you peace for today and hope for tomorrow. If Jesus is your light, if he is your Lord, if he is your Savior, if you look to him for answers, then amen. Amen? Amen. He's leading you home. He's got you by the hand. He's walking before you, lighting that path. However, if you have not been looking to Christ, if you're that person, as I once was, as we all once were, who's got both hands on that steering wheel and you're gripping it tight, if it seems like life is just throwing everything at you, going a mile a minute, if you've been questioning what's coming up next, if you're barely able to keep your breath because of how fast it seems like life is going right now, then I encourage you that you need to let go of that steering wheel. You need to turn on that GPS, so to speak. And by that, I mean you need to come to Christ. You need to come to the Lord. Submit yourself, humble yourself before God. Do as the psalmist does. Say, Lord, show me thy ways. Teach me thy paths. Follow that light that is shining down, that lamp under your feet. Look down at the path that he's got for you and walk that. Let go of the steering wheel and let God drive it for you. When you do that, you'll find that your sins can be forgiven, that the troubles of this life can be gone for you, that peace will come. And by peace, I don't mean that you'll never know hard times in life. I'm talking about a peace that passes understanding. I'm talking about a peace and assurance in where your path will end. You won't worry about seeing the whole path as that flashlight illustration shows, that the light down the path. You won't worry about that. You won't really care about the very next step because you'll already know what the destination is. When God shows you the next step, you'll be ready to take it. You can be forgiven. You can have the Lord. He can show you what to do. He can tell you how to live, and you can be back with the Father if you come to Christ. Now, here in a moment, the congregation is going to sing, and I invite you, if you do not have Christ, if he's not the light of your world, if he's not lighting your paths and directing your steps, if he's not your shepherd, then I encourage you and I invite you tonight, as the congregation sings, come forward and I'll show you from the Word of God how you can know and how you can have God as the light of your world. Join us.